first of all, anti-Christian doctrine. I'm not teaching anti-Christian doctrine about baptism. I'm teaching anti-Christian doctrine to say that you can't be saved in here. That's what it says. It's anti-Christian doctrine to say that you have to go somewhere else and some man have to do something before you can get saved. Pat teaches, and Pat straightly says, and will tonight, Pat will tell you that you cannot be saved in this room. And if you die, and if you call on the Lord, give Him your heart, soul, right here, and weep and cry, and ask God to give you your sins, that is not good enough. That will not do it. Unless He can get you to a pond of water, you will not be saved. From here to that water, if you have a wreck and die, you are lost. Now, if that does not make the water be what saves you, there is no logic whatsoever to say that the water does not save. It's only a part of something you're supposed to do that the Lord told you to do. No, no. If you cannot be saved in here, and only can be saved when you get baptized, then baptism, period, is the author and the finisher of your faith. Period. Everybody in here knows better than that. There ain't a man or a woman in here, I believe, that in the depth of your heart believes that if one of these children came to the Lord right here and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to surrender my life to you right now. And then you was going back home to Huntsville or wherever it is and had a terrible car wreck and that child got killed, that you would not say, standing at that child's casket, she gave her heart to the Lord. That's what it said. It's anti-Christian to say that any man has to do anything before you can get saved. And Pat says he has to baptize you before you get saved. Therefore, salvation is out of the hands of God and into His hand. What if He can't baptize you? What if you're in a place where you can't be baptized? What if you're in a place that Pat's sick and he can't go baptize you? What if you're in a plane crash over a desert with Pat? And you want to give your life to the Lord while both of you is laying there bleeding to death on the desert floor. You can't be saved because Pat can't baptize you. That is as anti-Christian as hell is itself. I promise you. Did the Apostle Paul believe? Did Paul believe that a man had to do something to be saved? Well, here's what Paul said. Paul said, "For by grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works," specifically, "not of works, lest you should boast." Romans 4, 2 through 6 concludes by saying, even as David in verse 6, even as David also described the blessings of man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. The Bible says in Romans 6, "For if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace, but it is of works. Then is it no more grace, otherwise it's work." In other words, if it's of works, God owes it to you, and it ain't grace no more. That's what Paul said. Paul said in Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by works of the law shall no flesh be justified." That's clear. He said in Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the word." So here Paul makes it absolutely crystal clear what he believed. And Paul didn't just say we were saved by faith. Paul said you are not saved by works and by the works of the law. Now, what are the works of the law? Well, the works of the law is anything that is set forth as a law. That is something that you are supposed to do. And so, it being set forth as something that you're supposed to do, the Church of Christ has five things which they say that you're supposed to do in order to be saved. They say that you're supposed to hear the gospel to be saved. They say that you are supposed to believe to be saved. They say you are to repent of past sins to be saved, and that you are to confess the Lord Jesus to be saved, and you are to be baptized with remission of sins and water to be saved. Those are the five things that you are supposed to do according to the Church of Christ. Now, I asked Pat, was these five accurate statements concerning his faith in Meridian last month? And Pat said that they was. So, here we go. Or actually said they was close enough. Now, hear the gospel. Now, if this is the works of the Church of Christ. This is the law of the Church of Christ. Therefore, it's the work of the Church of Christ. It is the law of the Church of Christ. This law surpasses any law of the scribes and the Pharisees, of whom Jesus detested. This is worse than the laws of the scribes and the Pharisees. You know why? Because not even a Pharisee, the scribes, the Pharisees, never counted thinking as labor. Even they didn't count a thought as labor. These people not only says that you have to go and do something, but now they start counting thinking as labor. Let me just illustrate. Four of these, hearing the gospel, believing, repenting of your past sins, and confessing, there's no labor in that. All of those things are internal. Now, to hear, please, everybody remain silent for just a moment. How long did it take? She jumped. She jumped before the echo quit in this room. I would ask how long and with what labor did she labor to hear what I just did? Before the echo finished in this room, she jumped. It's at the speed of light. Even a scribe don't say hearing is labor. To believe, everybody remain silent just one moment. Tennessee had a poor season this year in football. How long did it take you to agree or disagree with that statement? Instantaneous. Ain't no labor in that. Only one of these is labor. Work. Work is a defined word. You can't change definitions of words. Work is a definable word, and it means the carrying of the weight of an object through a distance. That is what work is. If you do not do that, you do not work. The scribes and the Pharisees and the bulls and the goats, you had to physically go do something. You had to carry the weight of an object. That's why the Pharisees and the scribes said, you can't carry this from here to here because you have done works. You have labored. You cannot carry, you cannot walk further than a mile, they said, because you have labored. You carried the weight of an object through a distance. Only one of these things is a work, and it is this baptism issue. With the baptism issue, he speaks of Peter. And he talks about Peter saying, we're saved by water. The Bible also says they're saved by the ark. But where it speaks of them being saved by water, it plainly states in Peter that it was the like figure. The like figure. And then Peter went on to stress the point. This is not for the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an open show, good conscience toward the Lord. That's what it's all about. Now, Pat's teaching that what you have to do is you're in free flight all of a sudden. But everyone knows that you have to get into something before you can work in it. There has to be a point. There has to be a point, a beginning point. There has to be some place that whatever it is starts. Pat has you already doing before you get in. Now you are either doing before you get in, or you are doing after you get in. One or the other. You either do what the Lord said to do to get in, or you do the things the Lord said to do after you get in. Now, if you have to do something that the Lord said do to get in, then you're getting in by what you do. But if you by faith come in and then begin doing, which is the only time you can start doing, is after you in. So what is the point of getting in? Which comes before you start doing, because you don't start working for an employer until you get in the business. You did not sit on these pews, these seats that you're sitting on tonight, because you come in here and checked them out and looked it all over and done something. Every one of you came and just sat down. Therefore, exercise a faith in the seat, because there is no reason to believe that it won't hold you. Without a conscious thought, you flop down in that seat, which was an expression of faith in that chair, that it would hold you. Because if you thought for one second that the chair was not capable of holding you, you would examine the chair, look at it, or move to another position. When did Abraham believe? Did Abraham believe after he left Ur? Did he believe on his way out of Ur? Or did he believe before he left earth? And because he believed who was talking to him, he left because he believed who was talking to him that said go. There's only one logical answer. He left because he believed in the one who told him to go. He had faith in the one that told him to go. And so he went. Whenever he offered his son on the mountain, did he believe?
10 minutes.
Going up the mountain? Did he believe on the top of the mountain? Did he believe at the base of the mountain? Or did he believe before he ever left to go up the mountain? Well, there's only one logical conclusion. He never would have went up the mountain if he first didn't believe. I mean, this is common sense stuff. Now, about the baptism issue, once again, the Bible don't teach that there's baptism by water as a salvation. The Bible teaches no such thing as that. Even the passage in Peter that we just spoke of, it didn't say nothing about being baptized in water. It plainly said it was a like figure. A like figure. That means it's a type of. Now, here is, there is one baptism that saves you. And the Bible makes it absolutely clear what the one baptism is. But now Pat knows, because he's acknowledged already before in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, thereabout in Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible says these are the doctrines of baptisms, plural. Now nobody in here, including Pat, denies that there's more than one baptism in the New Testament. There's more than just one baptism in the New Testament. He knows it. The Bible speaks in Hebrews chapter 6 of the doctrines of baptisms, the doctrine of baptism. There's more than one baptism. So the issue now comes to, if there is a baptism that saves you, which one is it? The Bible tells us which one it is. Insomuch as the Bible clearly reveals to us, clearly, that there's more than one baptism, then when the Bible says there is one baptism, one Spirit, one faith, that means that's the only one that gets you there. Now that's not hard to understand. And here's what it says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles. Now, the Bible tells us here that there is a baptism into the body of Christ. I just read it. Now, there ain't no way in the world you can make a puddle of water the body of Jesus Christ. And if you do, it has to only be a figure, because it can't be the real deal. You bad as the Catholic then, run around calling away for the physical body of Jesus. Now the only way, the Bible says we're to be baptized into the body of Christ. Now that's what the Scripture clearly says. To be baptized into the body of Christ. It's not into water. And if it is into water, it can only be. It is only possible if it is in water to be a figure of the body of Jesus. Just like Peter said. But the Bible says that you are baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. Now there's more than one baptism. And we know that one of the baptisms is baptism in water, but we know a spirit don't do that. That is a man's job. A man baptizes you into water. Has anybody ever in here went down to the river to get baptized and an angel or a spiritual being came and done it for you? Raise your hand. No. 100% everyone's ever been baptized, a man baptized you in the water. But the Bible says there is one Spirit that baptizes you into the body of Christ. This is not a physical baptism, for it is done by a Spirit. Pat's not that Spirit. There's nobody in here that could misunderstand this. He's not that Spirit. Are you, Pat? Are you the Spirit that this is speaking of? I'll give you 1 minute of my time to answer. Are you the Spirit that this is speaking of? Pat says he is not the Spirit that this is speaking of. So if Pat is not the Spirit that this is speaking of, Pat, would you tell this body what Spirit is talking of? I'll give you 1 minute of my time.
That's the Holy Spirit.
So Pat says that the Holy Spirit is baptizing you into the body of Christ. Now, if indeed there is a baptism necessary for salvation, I ask you, which one would it be? The one Pat baptizes you into, or the one the Spirit baptizes, the Holy Spirit, as he said?
5 minutes.
There's two of them, obviously. Distinct and separate. He just said he ain't the spirit of this verse. He don't deny that the spirit of this verse baptizes believers into the body of Christ. He says he's not that spirit and then testifies that this is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit at some point in your life baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. Now, can you be saved and not be in the body of Jesus Christ? Certainly not. You know, I don't know what Pat says. You know, we listened to him last night on tape saying that God has two gifts of the Holy Ghost because he can't deal with the fact that the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, the Bible plainly says with a living witness that a man receives the gift of the Holy Ghost without being baptized. So his only logical conclusion to come up with, which is illogical and anti-Christ in teaching, his knowledge is that the man in Acts chapter 10 that got baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues in his whole house, before he got baptized in water, he's come up with the idea that there's two gifts of the Holy Ghost now, and one of them is given to unbelievers for the purpose of working miracles, speaking in tongues. That is absurd. But that's what he has to do in order to hold this doctrine, because it's not Christian doctrine. He's a Church of Christ. He's defending the Church of Christ, and no matter how he butchers the Bible to do it. It's clear there is a baptism necessary for salvation. But he admits it's a spirit baptism. He admits it's the Holy Spirit. He admits that he's not the one that baptizes in that baptism. And there's one baptism, one spirit that does it. At some point, before, after, whenever, there is some point that the Holy Ghost of God baptizes a believer into the body of Christ. And that is the only baptism. And that baptism takes place when a man accepts the Lord as his Savior with a sincere heart. You come and you ask God, save me, and your heart is true, forgive me of my sins. Right then, the Holy Ghost of God baptizes you into the body of Christ, and you're saved. Then you go to a pond of water for typology. The very scripture says it is a figure. And Peter then went on to straightway say, so nobody would think he was talking about this is the act that cleanses the man. He said this is not for the putting away the filth of the flesh. But it is a figure of, and it is for an open show. That is an open show telling everybody, let everybody see physically what has already happened to you spiritually. If you think for 1 minute, if you think for 1 second that this building, this place right now is a salvation-free zone, then you are past and beyond help. So we don't need to harp on it anymore. It is a sad religion indeed that would believe that your sons and daughters cannot call on God in this building and be saved at the point of faith. Paul didn't believe no works was involved in it. Paul plainly stated no works was involved in it. He said it over and over and over and over and over again. He got on the thief on the cross. How much time?
Got 1:15.
He got on the thief on the cross and repeated the same thing he'd done before, which is absolutely nothing. He goes back to this after thing and says, I don't mind. Says that that I don't want to hear this after thing. Let me have an illustration real quick. Somebody see, come help me, son. Come on, son, help me real quick. Now, this might be a little embarrassing for you. I don't mean to embarrass you, but please, if you would just lay down right there. Okay. Y'all please watch, okay? All right, now. At 8:10 on this date, Stephen died. Did that penny hit the ground after his death? Let me do it for you one more time. On this date of December, at 8:10, Stephen died. Did the penny hit the ground after he died? How long you got to be dead, Pat, before you're dead? That's what I asked you before. How long you got to be dead before you're dead? See, why we get so illogical with this? How long you got to be dead? I'm asking, how long you got to be dead before you're dead?